What's the difference between unforgiveness and then bitterness? Or is that what unforgiveness is, bitterness?
I was going to say, I believe that bitterness is unforgiveness. Oh. But it's unforgiveness like that just is sitting and rotting, you know?
Angry unforgiveness.
Yes.
Moldy unforgiveness.
Yes. Because, I mean, the people who are listening podcast, you're not going to see my face. But the people who are watching YouTube, when I think of bitterness, I think of this. That stank face, that
stanky face.
Look at them over there.
That's worse than an RBF.
Yes. So if there is a person in your life that every time you hear their name, every time you see their face or you think of them, you got that stank face, you might be bitter.
Oh,
you
snap.
Might be bitter.
Today on the Messy Faith Podcast.
Hello, 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 ladies. Hello. Welcome to the Messy Faith Podcast. Because
life is messy,
but God already paid the maid.
Woo.
Yay. We are your hosts. I'm Emily Roth, and this is
Citrusia Passion.
Yeah, baby, coming at ya.
Yeah.
So, that was a little Austin Powers. That was like way back. Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, ladies, or good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you are listening or tuning in.
Yes.
Today, we have a really good 30-ish conversation for you.
Yeah.
It is on bitterness. I was hoping that you would see it and do it. Bitterness. Bitterness, baby.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to deep dive. So get ready. Here we go. Sunny, let's start off with a Bible verse.
Let's do that.
Let's set the tone. What does the Bible say?
The Bible says in Hebrews 12:15, and the Passion Translation, it says, watch over each other to make sure that no one misses the revelation of God's grace, and make sure no one lives with the root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many.
Oh, yikes. Spikes. Yikes. And then there's a bunch of other verses that say the exact same thing.
Yes, basically.
Yeah. And yes. It's like compared with like malice and a whole list of other not so pretty emotional things. Okay. So why are we even talking about bitterness? Like, I know this is a kind of like one thing that popped up mm-hmm. for you. So I just maybe share a little bit, I mean, that you can. Why are we talking about this? Like, what relevance does this have in our lives?
See, what had happened was this one. It's like, no, I'm joking.
This one time.
Are you bitter? No. Well, let me say this funny thing real quick. Not funny, but one thing I noticed is that it says that it affects many. And mm-hmm. so we think that bitterness only affects us,
yeah.
but it affects many. So that was one thing that stood out. But I thought it was a good topic to talk about, because it's a prayer that I've been praying. I've been asking the Lord to help me not be bitter. And that prayer comes from, as you know, as we learn and we grow in relationships with people,
mm-hmm.
In the past, my personality was more passive than maybe it is now. I think the scripture that talks about like, blessed are the peacemaker, that was one that I held to my heart. And so I
saying
tried,
like, I'm a peacemaker.
Yeah. And so in every situation, even when people would wrong me or take advantage, my heart has always been postured to be a peacemaker and to just kind of take it. Mm. And I think there's good in that, because I'm not overly like, I don't become offended easily.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a blessing in that. But then on the flip side,
that's the perfect soil for bitterness.
It's the perfect soil for bitterness, but no, it's the perfect soil for people to manipulate.
Mm.
Because once a person knows, like, you don't have the boundary of like, no, you can't do this, and I'm standing firm, because you just want to kind of, oh, just want peace, one of this, you know, and you don't necessarily hold people accountable, then you know, it leads to people kind of taking advantage of that.
Oh,
and
no.
So through the years, one thing that God has shown me, that I can be a peacemaker but still have boundaries.
Got
I
you.
Can still be a peacemaker but still have like a standard. I know I use that word a lot, but I think it's necessary. But you can
I
still
have no
a
objection
like,
to it at this moment, so you're
yeah,
good.
Yeah, okay, good. But you can still have a standard of, this is my standard, and you and I will not accept anything outside of this, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's good to have. And so with learning this, just, I would say life, I didn't learn that at an early age. I think that's something we were supposed to instill in our children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that I didn't learn until later. But when I learned it, when you recognize, like, you can maybe think someone's not doing you wrong, you know, but once you recognize they are,
you're like, what do I do with this feeling?
Yes.
What is this? Yes. Building inside me.
Yes. And to know, like,
how to handle that feeling.
How to handle that feelings, but to recognize and to know that someone is taking advantage of you and the goodness, the good side of you, you know what I mean? And you know, and knowing all that you endured, like, because of that,
mm-hmm.
it can make you angry, you know?
Yeah.
And so in that, like, having to go through the process of, like, yes, this happened before, I'm upset about it, rightfully so, you know, but I forgive you. But then having to walk out that forgiveness, even being in relationship with some of those people still, is hard, because then when you see them pushing up against those boundaries, it almost enrages you again, because you're like, no, you're not about to do what you did before.
Yeah.
You know? And then that could lead to bitterness.
Yeah. So you have to guard that pretty closely, that tension.
You got to watch it. Yeah. Because yes, you have to have, because if it's people God called you to be in, do life with, you know, whether it's like a family member, God forbid, if it's like your spouse or something, or it's, you know,
I think that kind of happens more than we think.
A lot more. And I think especially in the church, because, you know, the whole submission thing, but that's a whole nother topic for a whole nother day. If it's people that maybe are your coworkers or your boss or your pastor, or, you know what I mean? Like, people you're called to do life with,
mm-hmm.
once they offend you in that way, and God doesn't say, like, the season's up for that relationship to end, you have to be mindful. Like, I know what you did to me. I forgive you. But also, I have to set this boundary. So when you're trying to repeat the same behavior,
bless you.
Get it out, baby. Get it out.
I only sneeze really loud. So I'm like, how is this going to go down? Just turn your head from the mic.
That's funny. But I think once you have to, like, enforce those boundaries,
yeah,
it could cause you to be bitter. Like, yes, you've forgiven them. Like, with my situation, yes, I've forgiven you for the past stuff. But now I'm struggling with being bitter toward you because I see that you're still struggling in that behavior. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, you know, because...
Well, let's just for a moment, I hear everything that you're saying, but I, from hearing you say all that, I'm like, what is, maybe if we define bitterness, or, I mean, not define it, but like, what's the difference between unforgiveness and then bitterness? Or is that what unforgiveness is, bitterness?
I was going to say, I believe that bitterness is unforgiveness, but it is unforgiveness like that just is sitting and rotting, you know?
Angry unforgiveness.
Yes.
Moldy unforgiveness.
Yes. Because I mean, the people who are listening podcast, you're not going to see my face, but the people who are watching YouTube, when I think of bitterness, I think of this, that stank face, that
stanky face.
Look at them over there.
That's worse look than an RBF.
Yes. So if there is a person in your life that every time you hear their name, every time you see their face or you think of them, you got that stank face, you might be bitter.
Oh,
you
snap.
Might be bitter. And I think sometimes we think that, oh, I forgave them. But I think forgiveness isn't a one-time thing. It's mm-hmm. not like, I forgive you and that's the end of it. I think that every time that feeling pops up or that memory pops up or something trigger that emotion, I think it's a continual decision that you have to continue to make. And I think sometimes it turns into bitterness because at some point we think that, oh, I've forgiven them, and we stop making the decision and we are triggered on whatever happened to us that angered us or offended us or hurt us, you know?
Yeah.
We're triggered. For whatever reason, something triggers us and we don't check it. We don't like keep doing the work. At some point we stop doing the work of like, I actively forgive you. And we start to think about how dare they did that. They're just such this. And we start like making judgments about the person. Like, they're just a little liar. Look at the little manipulator.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's this thing in like when you go to therapy for like anxiety or panic,
mm-hmm.
It's called exposure therapy. Mm. Like if you have the fear of like walking of like bridges or whatever, right? It's kind of illogical because the statistics of bridges going down, well, not so much now. Remember the bridge that just went
yes,
down?
Yes, yes. Oh, no. No.
Anyway, but what you would do is you would get put in safe situations to expose you to a bridge. So you're on a corner next to a bridge. Mm-hmm. You see other people walking across the bridge safely. So that was just that one time. Now, the next time you go by the bridge again, and this time you're going to go on a bike over the bridge, because that way you can get it faster, but you're still going to see that the bridge is safe, mm-hmm. but you're still walking over. And the next time you go, maybe you go in a car and it's a little bit better. But then the next time you go, you actually take a walk across the bridge and it takes longer, and you're seeing that you're completely anxious and almost to a state of a panic, but you're safe.
Yeah.
And so the more you do that, the less you get anxiety and the less it triggers a panic attack. And I'm like almost thinking in some way we need to have, like with forgiveness, exposure therapy to the things that stir up the dirt a little bit and show us that there's bitterness there. And then by doing that, not that we're numb to the feeling, but we're not scared anymore of that situation because we forgave that situation.
Yeah.
But we don't, we've removed all of the emotional feelings that were attached to it. So when we see that situation again, we're not triggered by it. We're just called to remembrance. Oh, I should probably walk this way or handle the situation this way because I know what it's like to be affected by that situation.
Yeah.
And so that's wisdom instead of bitterness.
And you know what's crazy is I think God does that with us by not removing us from situations where people have offended us or hurt us, like whether it's a job or a church or a marriage. I think God does that if we do it, handle it right. You know
what
I
mean? Yeah.
If we do the work right, then I think that's what
put that a little closer.
Sorry, that I think it's that's okay. What he does to us. Another thing that I, when you asked like what is bitterness, if I had to say a recipe for it, it would be unforgiveness and judgment mixed together. Because
oh, you threw a little judgment in there.
Yes.
Ooh, the spice of bitterness, a little bit of judgment, a dash of unforgiveness.
Yes, yeah. And an uppercut of
never mind. I was gonna an say uppercut of sass.
Forget you.
In the edited version.
Yes.
Oh jeez.
But I say the judgment because in bitterness.
Yeah.
In bitterness, there is a how dare you do this to me, or
how dare you?
So I guess a dash of self-righteousness.
Okay.
It's a dash of self-righteousness, unforgiveness.
We'll leave the recipe in the show notes.
We'll leave it there so you know not to make that. But I think it's all of those things sprinkled in, because if I'm bitter toward a person, if I'm bitter about, because you can just be bitter in general, or you can be bitter toward a person, you know, or about a situation. But I think...
That's actually a development. Did you know that?
What?
That... you said you can be bitter towards a person, or you can just be bitter in general.
Yeah. It just started filling your whole body. And now you're just bitter.
No. Like legitimately.
Yeah.
Like you can start out just a little bit bitter about somebody. Mm-hmm. But if you have like chronic bitterness, it actually builds up a mindset. And then that mindset skews the perspective of your life and your relationships. And it's one of the harder things to overcome.
It's funny because I always say, I want to be a sweet older lady. I don't want to be a bitter. Have you seen old people and they're just... It's like they let that bitterness grow and rot, and now it's rotting
out
everything.
They got a full-fledged garden.
They got a whole garden full of bitterness.
I wonder what a bitterness fruit looks like.
It looks like judgment.
Like a black ginger with like those things that grow off of potatoes.
Yes. With some ugly things crawling. Yeah, Oh my gosh. And it stinks.
Okay, but, and it stinks. And all right, stinks. Like skunk.
But yeah, so just to the bitterness, I mean, the judgment part of it, I think that with bitterness, judgment goes hand in hand, because at some point in that, you're not trying to see why the person did what they did to you.
You're just judging them because what they did to you.
Yes. And I say the self-righteousness is because it's like, how dare you do this to me? Like as if you're not a human, you know what I mean? Like,
or doing the same thing to somebody else,
or you're exempt. Yeah. Like you're exempt from going through or being offended, you know?
Okay. I dig it.
So yeah, I think all those things kind of go hand in hand, and we have to do the work that, yes, we don't want people to treat us any kind of way and stuff, but the work is every time that thought comes up is to, you know, bop it back down, or to remind yourself what Jesus says, or to remind every time it's like, they did this to me, and they remind yourself, well, they did that because they're unwell. They did that because they're hurting. They did that because they're ignorant. They did that because, you know what I mean? Reminding yourself of maybe they're, and that's always so hard, but reminding yourself of they're side or having compassion to their side. Because when Jesus looks at it, he's not just looking at you like, oh, my little baby, how dare they? I'm going to punch them. He's looking at them the same way he's looking at you like, oh, no, my baby is acting out in this symptom of whatever they did to you because they're unwell themselves, you know? So the same way he's looking at you, he's looking at them with the same compassion.
Yeah. That reminds me, I was thinking of something when you were talking. Maybe you should talk again.
Okay. Talk. No, well, it's been a prayer of mine, like I was saying before, not to go on and on.
Okay. I remember. Thank
you. Praise God. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Is that everybody should check themselves for bitterness.
Yes.
Because it's one of those, low hanging fruits right there with judgment where you don't think it's, you think it's out of your reach to do, but actually every situation that elicits anger or hurt is, has the opportunity to turn into bitterness if it isn't handled in a Christ-like manner.
Yes.
So therefore at least once a day, and we're saying at least once a day. Now, if you have kids, you know, more. If you have a husband, more.
Yes.
You know, if you have a boss, even more.
Yes.
Like, there's prime, ample opportunity for you to enter into bitterness.
Yes.
And it just comes down to a micro choice of what you're going to, because we all have feelings.
Yes.
So if I'm getting angry or I'm hurt, it's because something happened. I'm reacting to something, right? And sometimes you don't have control over that. And then the hurt and the anger that happened because of that reaction, most of, I'm going to say, are not, it's not a sin. And it's 100% natural to have that reaction. After that natural reaction happens, which is also a chemical reaction in your body, when that happens, if you allow that to linger and fester and you don't confront that to say, why did this make me feel this way? What exactly was it? Was it the person or the situation? If you don't navigate that and then make a plan of how you're going to feel knowing all of that, you know, then that sets you up for a world of hurt. If you don't, if you don't handle it in a Christ-like manner, and I mean that, it starts changing your body chemistry.
Literally,
it like literally leads to stress and anxiety, which then leads to like heart disease.
Literally,
no, no, for real. Like, look it up. But also, well, you're like, well, but I have stress about everything. Well, yeah, but there's good stress and bad stress. It's like when those situations rise and you go through them, you have a gap. You have a time where you can choose where you're going to send that energy. Because if you don't think that there's energy surging through our body, I don't know what, go take a biology class. We're like freaking electric current. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's how God designed us. So you have a choice where you're going to send that. And it can be used for good and it could be used for bad.
Yeah.
And literally you can create really, really bad things in your brain, and then you can create really, really good cascading events in your body.
Yes.
And so you have the choice to decide. It doesn't negate your feelings. It doesn't say you don't have feelings.
Yeah.
It doesn't allow you not to feel your feelings.
Yes.
It just, you have control of how you're going to and how long you're going to let those feelings go.
Yes.
But if you can't get from the judgment, the hurt, the anger, if you can't get to a healthy place, then you need to figure that out.
Yeah.
Well, no, 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 like seriously, because then that's going to lead to a cascading events of lots of things in your life that is not good. And it disrupts every single relationship, and it actually disrupts your relationship with God.
Yes.
Isn't there this verse in the Bible where somebody was bringing an offering to God and he said, stop.
Yes.
You need to go find your brother.
Yes.
And you need to make it right.
Yes.
And then you need to come do the offering.
Yep. Yes.
And so that just is like, it's so important.
Yes.
That we address those situations and move forward. I'm not saying past, but we move forward and we move through them.
Yes.
In as healthy as a way as possible. And I'm not saying that you're not going to be angry for like 5 months, but there's a way to be angry for 5 months that doesn't eat you up for 5 months.
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying?
And if you can't do it on your own, that's why Jesus in therapy.
Yeah.
I think therapy is a very, very good tool because it helps you to work through those thoughts. It helps you to not make the judgments or to land on anything, but a therapist will help you work through all of that.
Yeah. And if if you're not at the therapy thing yet, like talk to a close friend first and be like, hey, I'm struggling with this because of this. Can you help me?
But a friend that's not gonna be like, oh, how dare they? They are wrong. Hopefully
another sister in Christ won't be like that.
Yes. Because there's some friends that'd be like right there with you, like, yes.
Yeah. So just in case those are the only types of friends you have, a good way to maybe navigate that would be like, I don't want to allow bitterness to and anger and judgment to cloud my mind, and I don't want it to take root in my heart.
Yes.
So here is a situation that happened, and I'm trying to find a way through it.
Yes.
So if you set up the conversation like that, if anybody loves Jesus, you literally just told them what you don't want and what you do want. So they're going to think twice before they say anything. They're going to see your aim. So there's a little friendship pro tip for you. If you have one of those friends, set up the conversation for success, saying your goal first.
That's so good. Another thing that I think of is one way to tell if you're becoming bitter.
Ooh, yes, this is good.
Another way to tell is if you continue to hold the person to, when I say hold, I'm thinking of holding a person on the wall. But or if you continue to view the person from the lens of how they offended you in the past. And so let's go with an example of,
or they're not meeting a standard.
Yeah. Let's say someone lied to you.
Or your expectations of you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Let's say someone lied to you and their lies hurt you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If every time that person now is telling you something, if you are assuming that they're lying, you haven't forgiven them, because it should be if you've forgiven, it should be as if it never happened. And I know that trust has to be built up.
You better expound on that. It's like it never happened.
Yes, because that's how Jesus says when he forgives us, it's as if it never happened.
But he's Jesus and I'm Emily.
And our goal is to be like Jesus.
Okay.
So
not that you'll ever reach that, but that is the pinnacle of forgiveness.
But you have to have a goal, even if you don't always make it. But that's the marker to tell if you're aiming in the right direction. So if a person has lied to you, and now everything that they say, you view it through the eyes or the lens of a lie.
You're a liar.
Then you have not fully forgiven that person. It doesn't mean that you won't struggle with like, are they telling the truth? But if you make a declaration, like they tell you something like, no. And everything is there.
Yeah.
If they're guilty before they're innocent, then you haven't forgiven them. I mean, you leave room. Now, knowledge of like someone's struggles doesn't mean that you judge them on it. Like there's people that I know that struggle with lying. And so when they're telling me things, I'm listening and I'm asking questions to get clarity, to make sure what you're saying makes sense.
Yeah. You know, testing the word.
1 + 1 = 2, but I'm not automatically like saying like everything you're saying is a lie and you have to prove to me that you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. I'm going to give you the grace to say that you could be telling the truth. So let me go there with you. So the things that don't make sense, I'm going to ask you questions.
That's challenging.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's a difference between challenging somebody and just declaring, like just judging them that you're a liar. So you got to be be telling a lie.
Or I don't know if this comes into bitterness, if this could be a true test or whatever. But not that you write people off, but you settle that's how they are. Like for all of time, for all of the rest of your life, this is how that person is.
Yeah. And no matter what they do.
Yes.
That's exactly what I'm describing. No matter what they do.
So I'm always going to see that person as a liar, but that's horrible.
And they could have been delivered.
I'm not allowing them to have growth and I'm not seeing them as a human. I'm just seeing them as a liar. But like I've lied before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't find myself doing it all very much anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully not.
Yeah. As we grow. I was trying to like put a joke in there, but then it was going to be inappropriate. So then I just stopped. So what you just heard was just filtering, which has been years and years and years of like growing.
That's growth. You filtered. Good job.
Soon enough, I will grow enough to where I don't have like awkward silences where I'm playing out conversations in my head and then talk about them.
That's hilarious. But that's exactly what I'm describing.
Okay.
Is that you have literally pronounced judgment over this person. Exactly.
They are
a cheater.
You declared that they are this. Oh my gosh. Just think of if that's what Jesus did to us.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
If he did that, I'd be a lot of things.
I know.
That'd be a lot of, you remember back in the days they would have the, what they would put a scarlet letter, like they would put an A on there for a, my sweater would be filled with a lot of letters.
I have the whole alphabet up there.
All up there, yes.
Oh my gosh. But the great thing is that he doesn't.
Mm-hmm, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He cleans the slate. You have a clear sweater.
Oh my gosh.
No letters.
It's a
on
white
it.
Sweater.
It's a white sweater.
Oh geez.
And he gives you the opportunity.
But that's gospel.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's almost how you have a gospel relationship with every human. It doesn't matter if they believe in Jesus or not.
Yes.
If you can have and reflect the gospel in every one of your interactions with people, mm-hmm. that's emotional health.
And let me clarify this.
Oh, snap.
Forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you give them access to continue to do the same things they were doing before. It means you don't judge them.
Oh,
you don't
yeah, for
put
sure.
the judgment
yes.
over them.
Yes, yes.
But in some cases, you have to set boundaries.
Yeah.
You or set, because you've
not
done
be
this,
friends with a person anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the forgiveness is, I love you, I forgive you, but I can't give you access to me. You know what I mean?
At that point, if we're just saying a gospel friendship, mm-hmm. that at that point it is, I am trusting in faith that God will connect with you in a way that will change what I experienced with you.
Yes. But it doesn't mean that everything somebody do now, you're cutting everybody off, because that's not God at all.
No. I was saying in those extreme circumstances.
Done. You looked at me. Done. Because sometimes our filters are, you know, we're offended by stuff that actually isn't happening.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we're.
Yeah. And I don't know if I said this in another episode, but hey, you know, you might be a first time listener, so we're going to say it again. I was on a hike with one of my friends, and I was describing an issue, and she just told me that their counsel, that they always practice best intentions. Meaning, like, if something happens to you and you're upset about it, you assume best intentions of the other person instead of judgment first.
That's
so it's
Bible.
Best. Yeah.
Whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's.
Exactly. So our first reaction mm-hmm. should be like, oh, maybe something happened, or they didn't mean to do that, or there's some sort of explanation that should come. Grace-filled reaction should come before a horrified one, you know?
Yes.
In most situations. Yes, now, there are some situations, like somebody's holding a gun to your head, you're like, I'm sorry. I might not act very gospel-filled in that moment.
You're not. But, I mean, if you can, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Because
there are people who, I've seen stories where people, they talk about someone trying to rob them and then them talking them down and hugging them and end up taking the gun and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you got that grace, praise God.
Yeah.
You got that.
Anyways, so this is why it's important to check yourself for bitterness, because it's a hindrance not only to our earthly relationships, mm-hmm. but also to our relationship with God.
Yes.
But that shouldn't scare you, because it's simply one conversation with God away and a few and constant days of changing, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as you acknowledge and be like, yo, G-O-D, I think I'm full of bitterness. Mm-hmm. Then you ask him to help you. It's it. Issues resolved. Yeah. Obviously, you have to work that out, and it's going to take time to do that. But like, there's no more disconnect from you and God. Upon, you know, realization or confession of that, that's when I believe that connection, you know.
Yes.
I think I just said a whole bunch of weird things that I'm not really sure.
No, you said it and it makes sense. And
right, because he told that guy, he's like, stop giving your offering. Mm-hmm. Go, you're at odds with your brother. Go make up with him and then come back.
Yes.
So the time when you go to make odds, right, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. When you be like, I have bitterness in my heart. God, help me.
Yeah.
Da-ding! You're back.
Yeah.
You know?
And he starts to do the work.
So, exactly. He's like, yes.
We got to do the work with him. But yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're bitter, repent. No, I'm joking. No, but if you feel yourself...
Repent. Yes, be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Repent sounds so like...
I know it does.
Repent!
Old school. That just means like ball up and admit that you got some bitterness in there.
Yeah.
I totally said ball up on like a women's podcast.
That's funny.
I
knew what you meant. Look,
I have an 8-year-old right now, okay? So we're like going over things we can say and not say.
It just goes over my head because I'm used to it. But no, if you are struggling with that, It doesn't mean that you will always be bitter. It doesn't mean anything negative about you. It just means that you're human, you're breathing, you're experiencing life and relationships. If that is you, yes, repent and just ask God to help you. And it might be hard in the first, you know, little while you're adjusting, but just do the work. Every time it comes up, if you find yourself being negative, if you find yourself, someone tries to bless you or do something nice and you're like, oh, but they didn't even get my favorite color. If you find yourself responding like that, which I've had to check myself, I'm not even gonna lie. I had to check myself lately.
You jerk.
It's like, I don't even like that. Like, and then I had to stop and be like, you sound bitter. Like they were doing something nice for you. It doesn't matter if it wasn't what you liked. Just be grateful. So, but if you find yourself like that, just, you know, shift, correct. And the more you do it, the easier it will become.
Yeah.
You're not alone. We all struggle in that way.
For serious.
And we just got to keep growing and doing the work.
All right, ladies.
Praise him.
In Citrus's words, praise him. Thank you for inviting us into your car, your office, wherever you find yourself today. And we will look forward to seeing you next week. If you have any bitterness stories or just have any comments or anything to add, we'd love to hear from you in the comments on YouTube or hit us, shoot us an email. Yeah, that's about it. Okay.
Yep. Love you.
Again with this outro music. Seriously. We'll get it right at some point, right?
Some point.
At some point. You're not bitter, are you?
I'm trying not to be.
Hey, it's Emily here. I just wanted to thank you on behalf of Satrecia and I for listening to the Messy Faith podcast and allowing us to speak into your life. And hey, we don't want it just one way. We would love to hear from you. You can contact us at any time through our website, our email at ask@messyfaith.com. You can like us on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you listen to us at. And hey, we'd love a little review. Can't wait to hear from you.